Well, we are in Kings chapter 3, and I'm reading, I'm bringing a message from verses 16 to the end of the chapter, that is 28. And the history is about King Solomon now showing forth the wisdom he has received. So this text is about the illustration of how the wisdom is displayed, wisdom from the king, and that is what we are seeing. So what we see here, the king has been established and on his throne, and we have seen that he has asked God in chapter 2, verse 5. He asks for wisdom. He asks for wisdom, and we know that that the idea in itself didn't come from him. You see, so you need to remember, it's God who took the first initiative himself. It's a God who was in charge of his own people. And that should encourage you tonight, that even as you sit in your situation, God is ruling your life. The God that you have turned to, the God under whom under whose wings you have taken refuge. God you declare to be your Father. He cares for you. And he is working through all the events and to bring upon your life all the blessings that he has declared for you. And that your life is not just like randomly, you are not just living like everybody else as you put your trust in God. So God is serious about this. Even he is doing things that even you are not aware of. Like even beforehand, he was looking to his own people. And he knows the things that this man is saying. Solomon, when he was raised, he raised this issue with God, because God said to him, now ask anything. That is chapter 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. And God is doing this. He knows that he is not fearful of the fact that he might not do what Solomon asked. You can ask anything. It's just you hear of those open check. I was never presented by one like that. You see, so where you can put any amount that you want. Just imagine if you put an amount that is not existing, we cannot find in Australia or even in the whole world. Still, God can provide that. You see, he can just even create everything. And if there is a need for God to do any kind of miracles, I want you to have this big faith. And it's not against the reality that you might not be given that. After all, it's God who takes the initiative, actually. It's the one who put on our hearts to ask whatever we want. You see, sometimes, even like in the recent days, it has come to my attention that actually there are things that God wants us to ask from him and we don't ask. Especially some of us are not praying, God bless me, please bless me. So I want you from here to start praying like that. Please bless me. See what happened with Solomon. You see, Solomon, he asked wisdom. You see, he asked wisdom. And his argument with God, he said, look, I am, because he said, I am a little child. I'm a little child, so I'm not an experienced person. Secondly, he said, I do not know how to carry my duties. You see, he has no credentials, no learning, nothing. You see, so he's not an expert in the subjects of ruling and, you know, like people being elevated into a position of power and or to make decisions, like our friend Edward, who is a lawyer, has been nominated or appointed to the VCAT. I think now he will be sitting in that. So Solomon said, like, look, I'm not. And also he said, the people that you have called me to lead your people are very stubborn, are very strong people. You see, they are just hard to rule. How am I going to be their leader? Well, God knows all these things. God knows all these things. God knew that really he is not up to that. But in the hand of God, you see, you will function really as an expert lawyer or judge. That is what we will see right now. And so he said this, and now what we are having here, we have two women. And the Bible says they are not just ordinary women. They were prostitutes. Prostitutes in Israel. And again, I said the book of Kings is a book of grace. Grace to grace. Just among God's people. You have people who are living wrongly. They were warned even back in Leviticus 19 that they shouldn't be amongst God's people, people with such attitudes to a way of life. And where would we know, even we as Christians, is how we present our bodies as a living sacrifice and not to lust after the things of this world, even women or men. But God wants us to live a holy life. But this two women, they were just like living loosely. They were told, do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Just among God's people, God warned that that shouldn't be a practice. And yet now we see these two women, they were described like that. So what happened? They both had two boys, and one 3 days before the others, and they were only living by themselves. And now, 3 days later, after that, and then this lady, her baby died, you see. And now there is a dispute. The other one, we are told that she took the baby from the other lady, and this claim that the dead child belonged to the other. So here the justice is needed, isn't it? Justice is needed. And now, as I was thinking, it's not justice for the woman that not to lose her child, but how about the child? The child's life. It's something where many of us who present the truth to men, to our people, do not think about this. But we know that God is a God of justice, and there is justice for every person, even children. You see? So even children, they need justice. And that is why the references, you see a lot of references to the living. You read in verse 22 that the other woman said that the living one is her son. You see? And then the other one said, no, they argue about that. No, this says, my son is alive and your son is dead. No, your son is dead and mine is alive. So that went on. What is God saying here? Well, God is a God of the living. It's not the God of the dead. It's God who wants to preserve lives. So what we see here is, I got a few things to mention, just like briefly. We see that even in this community, even people like this, they need also justice. God is God who is slow to anger. And we may think like, well, these people are prostitutes, that they don't deserve any justice. But God doesn't look to like that. You need to remember that this is Old Testament, and all were looking and looking to Jesus. You see, all looking to Jesus, to the time when he will remove our guilt and sin. And no one who is born of God will engage in this practice. Those who is born of God will not engage in this practice. Even if they are tempted, the Holy Spirit will prompt them to repent. And yet here we see that these are God's people, and he will not abandon his own people for this because they are wicked and sinful. He will punish them. But again, there will be no injustice in before him. So God cannot deny his character at all. Whenever there is need for him to judge, he will judge justly. So these ladies, they didn't go anywhere else to seek justice, but they came to the one God appointed to be the judge of his own people. And they are coming to the very one that the Lord God himself endowed wisdom to rule his own people. Out of his love, God raised up this man. So God knew the kingship was not his own, it was not the favorite thing for him. He anticipated this, and that is why he didn't give it over to them. Still again, you see, he said the king only God raises should be really the lead, should be the leader of his own people. So this is one thing. The other thing, these two ladies, they were staying together. Just imagine two roommates. Maybe they share happy times together. And yet now, one is turning against the other one, robbing her of her child. What is that? What kind of relationship is that? Is it telling us that sometimes we can be with people who do not really love us? Will God not see this and will administer justice also? And so when we see people who we are working with and they don't love us, even though we are offering them great service, well, we have tonight how God cares so much and how he is seeing all these things. Even this woman, to experience injustice before him, he wouldn't allow that. So not every person who says that he really loves you, really loves you. And we have this incident here, how she wanted to take her, even her child, and lie about it. And also we see that there were no any person to be a witness. Not even one. Only two of them. But God sees that, isn't it? We cannot hide anything from God. And that is why those who put their trust in God, they should be at rest, knowing that God sees everything and that he will move and judge. Really. All that he desires from us is to really lean on him and not to be wanting to be acting in injustice against other people also. Now, they came seeking justice. And where shall they go? They go to this man, to Solomon. So they came, and now Solomon will show his justice. And now Solomon says, in his ruling, he said, okay, if you are disputing about this, so what I will do, he said, give me the sword. Give me the living baby. And do not, I'm going, give me the sword, and I will now give the verdict. Bring me a sword. So they brought a sword. That is verse 24. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to other. There was a Sudanese lady leading up to the division between the north, or separation between the north and the south. She's a writer from South Sudan, Estella Gaetano. She was really a popular writer, was read widely by all the Sudanese from the north and the south. And so she wrote a paper saying that in the division of south and the north is like dividing a woman, cutting her into halves. And so the upper and then the lower part. And then the two parties, the south and the north, they were fighting which part to take. And the South Sudanese, because they were really impoverished for so long, they said, we want the upper part, the mother, the warmth and everything. And they said, oh, no, you take the legs because you have been just wandering in jungles and things like that. And so that was quite interesting. And so now we see that this woman, because she loves her child, she wouldn't want this child to be hurt. It is better for this child to live. And so the king, in his approach, so he administered justice. The mother of the living child said, no, do not kill him. She is his mother. So now the justice is, do not kill him. Do not kill him. So he gave the son to the proper woman. And now verse 28, when all Israel heard that the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. And that was the purpose. That was the purpose for God to endow Solomon with this wisdom so that people may fear him. When they see the wisdom that is heavenly and that is That is amazing. So people will fear God. And we have in the New Testament, because this is very far to us. So what is closer to us in the New Testament? So we have the descriptions of the wisdom, because this wisdom now has brought this dispute to an end in a peaceful way. And that is why James was saying that this peace, that this wisdom that comes from heaven is amazing, and this wisdom is peaceful, is heavenly. This is how he describes it. This wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. It's pure. It's coming from God. It's peace-loving. Doesn't love killing. It's considerate of the need of the other person. This is wisdom that comes from God. It's submissive. That woman was subdued. The other one, she couldn't seek any further justice. She was put to shame. And is full of mercy, for both for the child and also even for the mother. And good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That is what we see there. This man, Solomon, had this wisdom. And now the whole nations are fearing God, the God of Israel. Is God who acts so that his people may walk in righteousness and then may fear God and love him. And I think there's something for us even in our day-to-day, why we need to be just, why we need to be strong in administering justice, why we need to be really courageous, to be bold and not to fear man, and to give everyone and to judge justly and with wisdom that comes from heaven and not to fear anyone. It's because God is God of justice. And because he loves justice and he loves everybody, we have in the New Testament how Jesus was so determined, was so clear about this injustice that people were administering against other people. That was one of the worst things that Jesus would really hate so much and would pronounce judgment. You know Luke 17? And I want to finish in 3 minutes or four. Luke 17, I remember I tell you, as I was traveling in South Sudan, I was just passing through this security in the airport, and this policewoman, she was sitting like watching the screen, and she had her Bible on her lap, see this lady. And as I was going there, I was just so thrilled and to see that. And I said, "What are you reading?" And she said, "Luke 17. So what is it all about?" And then it was about those who will cause God's people to sin. Jesus said, "This disciple, things that causes people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin." You see? So Jesus was always cross about the injustice. So we see in our day today as God's people to be really, to show that we are God's people and that we love him and that we have received wisdom from him, we need to show it in good conducts and also decisive judgment and also not being partial, really about how we exercise our wisdom, but actually to give it as the Lord God would want us to give it. And not to shy off from really facing it. Even your enemy. And that is the only work that God can do in us. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So that might mean you lose friends. That might mean you will be left alone. But if you have come to put your trust in the risen Savior, you will not fear anything if you remember. We talk a lot about the unity of the Word of God. Well, when you are exercising a judgment, and maybe you may think only of James chapter 3, but you need to think all really even much more about all that Jesus has said in the New Testament. That is the unity of the Word of God. And this is where really holiness and righteousness really is revealed. even when you are given opportunity to judge. How do we know that Solomon is a man of God? How do we know that he was the king under God? Even with his all faults and his sin, he is in the covenant. He is under the covenant of God. And God cares, and he is working, and he is sovereign. He is ruling his own people. He will not be put off by the sins of his own people, because he is not unable to punish them or even to perfect them and to purify them. The Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has done is perfect, is complete for us. And his precious blood is still powerful to this day, can wash us clean from any sin. And his Holy Spirit is present with us to change us and to mold us and to make us the people he wants us to be, so that we can really be true witnesses of his character. It requires humbling. It requires really retreats. Take time off from work, and maybe to work on areas. We all have our own weak areas. And if this is one of your weak areas, you need to bring it to the Lord. The king judged justly. And this woman, she was given justice. And so justice belongs to God. And we had a situation many years ago here in America, when there was this man who was deemed to be a criminal, and sparked a big movement that was like Black Lives Matters. So I forgot his name. The guy who was killed by a policeman. Yeah, the policeman put his knee on the neck of this person in the public square. He was administering justice. His role as a policeman is to arrest that man and to take him and to face justice, but he killed him. And maybe there were some people thinking like he deserved that. Well, we all deserved that someone would put his knee on our neck, but God didn't allow that. He sent Jesus so that we can be saved. We could see that these two prostitutes, they don't even deserve any justice. Even that child shouldn't have lived. God is not like that. No, God is not like a man. God is God of justice. And he wants us also to be a people of justice. Or how about if you don't receive justice yourself? At your workplace, home, at home, so your rights are being really taken away. Yes, there will be justice. If not here on this earth, certainly in heaven, there will be justice. So that we don't take things to our hands. So we need to trust God, so we don't pay evil for evil. God cares. So I encourage you, as you go out from this place today, I want you to take this message, that God's character is a God of justice. There's no matter that you can bring to him, and you will not find a good outcome for you. If repentance is needed from your side, he will grant you that repentance. And then you will be as if you have not sinned. See, and there will be no guilt in your heart, even if you have not administered justice in the past. So you can do that. If you have not received one, and you are deemed to have one, so God also cares. So let us be encouraged. Let us hold fast to the word of God, because he looks, he sees. He's the all-seeing God. How would Solomon, King Solomon, know that this woman has a child? It's God. It's the wisdom, the insight that is from God. Because God gave him that methods of judgment. Let us pray together.